Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of my basement here on Long Island in New York, it is a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show. Coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We welcome you in, whether you're listening to us across one of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 206, or the radio.com application. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That's the number that gets you on in. You could always give me a follow and shoot me a tweet via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB, on our network's account, at CBS Sports Radio. Lloyd Pierce, the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, going to join us an hour from now. And we got an action-packed crew today because of the storm. The great Billy Giacalone has went through the storm, has defeated the storm, and is now in our studios back in New York City. And then on location still, we have Mikey B. and Tom DiBenedetto producing this extravaganza. And one way or another, we're all coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Hope everyone is okay with some of the weather problems that's going on right now in the United States. I know here today, when I was driving a little bit going to get some lunch, I saw a fuse box explode, and there was a big fire right next to my house. Even outside our deck, half of it got destroyed today because of some of the winds. That was ongoing. So hope everyone didn't have too much damage. And hopefully, in what has been a crazy year, you get to tomorrow and all is A-OK and you don't have too much significant damage. But obviously, since March, our country has been through a lot of damage, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And I hate to be Mr. Negative, 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 but you kind of just get a feel. All right, get me to this time next year and let me see what August of 2021 looks like and how much normalcy is back into our lives, if any at all. And hopefully this time next year, a lot of normalcy from life that was before the pandemic goes back to being what it once was. I always think there is going to be, probably for a while, until we get a vaccine, there's going to be that hesitation. And a lot of that hesitation is totally understood because if you look at what we had here in New York and in New Jersey and in Massachusetts and in those areas in the Northeast, our numbers in March and April and May were through the roof, and we saw what was going on in Florida. We saw what was going on in Texas, and they looked like they were in the clear as much as you could be in the clear during this pandemic. And throughout the months, we've seen a role reversal where now New York is actually a good place to be. And I have friends in Florida, have friends in Texas, and they've been going through what we've been going through, or what we did go through, really from March to about June. And we all know how quickly the virus can creep back, even when you let your guard down. And we've seen that with some baseball teams. Look at the Marlins. They were going out, and look what happened to their team, and they're expected to return to the baseball diamond tonight. And then you even see something like what happened with the Cardinals, where there was those reports that some of those players did go out to a casino. And then we did see how quickly the virus did spread across their team. So, hey, we're in difficult times right now and nothing is easy. So I really do hope that you're continuing to get through this day by day. And as you know, what we try to do each and every day, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern, is we try to provide you a distraction. We always do talk about the issues going on in the world, but let's get this show started. And we do so in the NBA. You have a lot of basketball going on. It's nice. You wake up today, you watch some basketball, you watch some hockey, and when you get through some of the NBA that did happen today, I know Billy Jackalone's Brooklyn Nets, along with Mikey B's Brooklyn Nets, they were an 18.5, 19-point dog, depending on where you did look, as the Nets were probably calling Billy and Mike and Evan Roberts and myself to try to fill out the starting five and add one other additional player too. That Nets team found a way to get a victory. And that was something that I didn't see coming today whatsoever. I thought the Bucks were going to blow out the Brooklyn Nets, but the Nets actually got a victory 119 to 116. Now, Giannis and Chris Middleton didn't play the second half, and Giannis got into a little dust-up with Dante Hall early in that game. But give credit to a Nets team where players are getting an opportunity that usually they would not be given an opportunity. You know, if this team had Kevin Durant on the court, if this team had Kyrie Irving, if they had Caris LeVert, if they had Spencer Dinwiddie, and some of the players that are currently hurt, like Joe Harris and Caris LeVert, like we mentioned, and to see those players not be in the game, and even though you're not going up against the top players of the Bucks, because Budenholzer elected not to play Giannis and Middleton in the second half, that's a nice victory for the Nets to win that game by 3 points up against the Milwaukee Bucks. You also did see the Mavericks and the Kings today. Dallas did get the 114-110 victory over Sacramento. That game didn't need overtime. And look at the free throw splits on this one. That's what really did jump out to me. Dallas got to the line 50 times in the game today, where Sacramento got to the line only 12 times. And if you look at the people that did lead the way for the Dallas Mavericks, Tim Hardaway Jr. had 22, Kristaps Porzingis had 22, and then Luka Doncic, who has been sensational from his rookie season to now in year number two, he had 34 points, was 12 of 24 from the field, did knock in 2 3-pointers as well, and got to the charity stripe 11 times in the game. Both him and Kristaps got to the charity stripe 11 times each. So a win for Dallas as they do take down the Sacramento Kings. And currently right now, you have a little bit of a shocker going on. About 7 minutes to go in the fourth, the Phoenix Suns up 105-99 up against the Clippers. When you start to take a glance at the numbers for the Clippers in this game, Kawhi does have 19. Paul George does have 23. And this is just the Suns team that Devin Booker has 27, DeAndre Ayton has 17-7, and Saric off the bench has 13, and Payne off the bench too has 12. So we'll keep an eye on this one, 105-99. Game probably doesn't mean much for the Clippers, because last night we did see the Los Angeles Lakers clinch the number one seed in the NBA, in the Western Conference, I should say. So the Clippers, they're six back of the Lakers, and they can't catch them. And yes, they only have a game and a half up on the Nuggets, but I would expect when the NBA postseason does resume and you get through this gauntlet of the eight games and the return to play in the regular season, that we'll still see, obviously, you know, you'll see for a fact the Lakers be one, but I still expect the Clippers to be number two. Tonight on the docket, coming up momentarily, you will have Indiana and Orlando at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. I saw no Jimmy Butler tonight, but you will have Boston and Miami. And tonight, this should be a game that is offense, 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 and some more offense, where you have Houston with their small ball play led by Russell Westbrook and James Harden going up against Portland, who does feature Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. So that will be a fun game at 9 p.m. Eastern, and you can watch that, of course, on TNT. All right, when we get to more of the NBA, though, and I was given a thought about this, because so much of the bubble, it's been talked about when you get to on-the-court matters, three teams, the Lakers, the Clippers, and then the Milwaukee Bucks. And when you mention those three teams, who do you mention first with the Lakers? We mention LeBron James. Then when you get to the Bucks, who do you mention first? You mention Giannis Antetokounmpo. And then when you take a look at the Clippers, we mention Kawhi Leonard. Those are the three most talked about players with those three teams in the league. When you look at Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, and in addition to that, Kawhi Leonard as well. And you start to think about when you get to other teams, or you stay even with those three teams, who's the next most valuable player in the bubble? Because when you go through those three teams, Giannis Antetokounmpo is most likely going to win back-to-back MVP awards, not just for his team, the entire league. We all know LeBron James, his importance to his team last year, and I know it's a different roster. They were, what, a 4 or 5 seed when he got hurt, and they didn't even make the playoffs. And this year, LeBron has made a late push before the league did shut down. He was getting some MVP momentum. I still expect Giannis to win the award. And when you get to the Clippers, we know the dominance of Kawhi Leonard, whether it was in San Antonio, whether it was winning a championship and another finals MVP last year in his lone year in Toronto. And now we're seeing what he is able to do when he gets on the court. And we know the consistency of Kawhi Leonard with him leading the way for the Los Angeles Clippers. So when you get outside of those three big names, the Greek Freak, LeBron, and then also Kawhi Leonard, who's the most valuable player? And that's actually our poll question tonight. And the options on the poll, I gave you four names. It's Anthony Davis, it's Paul George, it's Chris Middleton, and it's James Harden. You could always give me a call if you think it's someone else, 855-212-4CBS. And by the way, that's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. And it's brought to you by our fine friends at Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. And you could always chime in with your thoughts on Twitter, at Zach Gelb. If there is someone that you think is the most valuable player in the bubble, not named LeBron, Kawhi, and Giannis, if you don't like the options that we have on the poll question for you, which once again are Anthony Davis, Paul George, Chris Middleton, and James Harden. So let's break down those four options, and then I'll give you an answer. When you see Anthony Davis, yes, we all talk about LeBron, LeBron, LeBron with the Lakers, but Anthony Davis is a top 10 player in this league. Some may even say he's top 5 player in this league. And you see a team that used to have depth in the Lakers, now that depth is in question with Rondo hurt, Avery Bradley not rejoining the team for the NBA restart, and there's been inconsistencies with Kyle Kuzma and Danny Green. And the Lakers, in 3 games since they came back onto the court, they're 2-1. The one game they lost, Anthony Davis had 14 points. That was against the Raptors in an L. The 2 games they did win, up against the Clippers on that first Thursday when the season did resume, and then last night up against the Jazz, which, by the way, we did win our big bet last night as the Lakers did cover the 6 points. They won by 8. In those 2 games, though, you saw the importance of Anthony Davis, where up against the Clippers, he had 34, and then last night he had 42. And LeBron hasn't really gone off yet in the bubble. I know, and I'm cognizant of the fact, on opening night, he had the big bucket late off his own miss, and then he had the nice 2 defensive plays going, transitioning from Kawhi Leonard to Paul George, and then George missed the 3-point shot that would have won the game at the bubble. But really, inside the bubble, the Lakers are going as Anthony Davis does go. Now, for the postseason, that's not going to be the case, because you're going to need LeBron to give you a few 30-point games. But if LeBron and Anthony Davis keep on going through these things where you see Anthony Davis put up 34, 35 points in some games, and then LeBron James is giving you 26, but dishing the ball and also rebounding as well, that's going to be enough for the Lakers. So there is an enormous amount of value, clearly, with Anthony Davis. And even look at the 4 times they played the Clippers this year, their 2 losses up against them. The first 2 times, he had, I think, 24 and 25. The last 2 times, he gets in the 30-point range. I think it was 30 on that Sunday before the league did shut down. And then you also had 34 points up against the Clippers last Thursday. So we all know the enormous importance of Anthony Davis. But when you go through this list, you look at Paul George. Yes, they need him to be dominant. If he's not dominant in a game, and there's so much value with his offense and his defense, and he's probably another top 10 player in this league like Anthony Davis. But if there is a game where he's quiet, they have so much depth on this team with Montrezl Harrell, with Lou Will, with Patrick Beverley, with Morris. There's so much value and there's so much depth on this team that they can survive a game if Kawhi Leonard or Paul George aren't at their best. But I did see a stat last night, and this stat was from Miriam Swanson, who covers the Clippers, and she posted this out for this season. When Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Patrick Beverley all play together, the team's 22-6. In all other games, the team is 23-15. So if they can continuously run out Leonard, George, and Beverley, and we know the way that load management goes with Kawhi Leonard, it's irrelevant in the postseason, but in the regular season, it is something that catches all of our attention, then we know where the value is with Paul George. And when we continue to go through this list and you see a guy like Chris Middleton, we know the value of Chris Middleton. Because last year in the postseason up against the Raptors, 11, 12, 9, 30 points, 6 points, and 14 points, that wasn't good enough. And they need him, even though that team has a ton of depth, they need him to be that legitimate number two running mate to Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's going to win back-to-back MVPs. And this year, and we've seen it before, him play really well, but this year he did take a big step, but a lot of us are in this, we're going to wait and see what it's going to be when his team hits the floor in games that actually count, that are NBA postseason games, because they were the one seed last year, and we know that they lost to the Raptors. This year, they're not only the one seed in the East, they're also the one seed in the entire NBA. They have the best record, and you want to see what Middleton can do in the postseason after a shaky postseason up against the Raptors last year. If you're just judging him, though, off the regular season, this is someone that shot basically 50% from the field this year, was an all-star once again, had a 41% a shot from three, and averaged basically 21 points per game. So for Chris Middleton, there is enormous value, and a lot of people question if he could get it done in the postseason. That's the beauty of the sport. We're going to wait and see if he can get it done in the postseason, because last year up against the Raptors, he did not. And for that final spot, I put James Harden on there. You could also put Westbrook, but just because of the way that the Rockets are designed, they need Harden to be hot from three. And I know everyone's fallen in love with the first two games of the Rockets inside of the bubble. I look at it and I say, this is what is expected of the Rockets. Yes, it's nice to get your two victories, and it's nice to go on out there and get those W's. But for the Rockets, I'm not going to buy stock in them until they find a way to get it done in the postseason. They've been close throughout the years. Now you have a different roster. This has been a team, though, that they come up short when they're on the verge of slamming the door shut. And they can't come up short anymore. And now, you know, you made an upgrade. Westbrook over Paul upgrade. But Harden has to step up in the big moment. And there's zero reason for me to believe, and I know he's a great player in James Harden, that he's going to consistently show up in the postseason until I see it. Because it is still engraved in my mind, the performances when they've had the Warriors on the ropes. And I get those are all-time great teams in the Golden State Warriors, but James Harden wasn't only not able to deliver a knockout punch, but he was someone in those big games that he was the one getting knocked out, and he had zero counterpunch, especially in the fourth quarter, where you see a player who's been so great, and it's mystifying to me why that doesn't translate to postseason success. So when I answer this question and we run through the scenarios, excluding LeBron, Kawhi, and Giannis, who's the most valuable player to his team inside the bubble, I'm going with Anthony Davis. And a big reason there is the lack of depth on the Lakers. And I think we're seeing the formula through the first three games for the Lakers in the bubble that Anthony Davis is going to need to consistently average 28, 30 points per game to complement LeBron James. And if they do that, and if they get that scoring from Anthony Davis and LeBron James, they're going to do a lot of heavy damage in this postseason. And then you're just going to need someone to get hot, whether, you know, in a given game when you have that much production from LeBron and Anthony Davis. You're going to need someone to give you a 13, 14 off the bench, whether that's a Deion Waiters, you know, whether that is Kyle Kuzma, whether that is Alex Caruso. Someone else will just have to compliment him. But for me, it's Anthony Davis, because what we've seen so far, once again, in the first three games, the one game they lost up against the Raptors, he had 14. They get two victories up against two good teams in the Clippers and the Jazz. AD scores 34 and 42. So when you get away from the three big dogs in LeBron, Kawhi, and Giannis, who's the most valuable player in the bubble? That's on the table for you. We'll take a timeout when we come on back. Sixers, two games, two ugly results. They got a win, they got a loss, but the win was nothing to jump up and down about. Are you concerned about Philly? We'll talk about that next. We're off and running on a very busy Tuesday. It's the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
Excluding LeBron, Kawhi, and Giannis, who is the most valuable player to his team inside the NBA bubble? The early poll results on Twitter, Anthony Davis, 40%. He's in second place. In first place, James Harden just edges him out with 41% of the vote. Chris Middleton at 11%, and Paul George at 8%. So make sure you get on in with that. I'll tell you someone who is of tremendous value as well, and probably doesn't get talked about a lot nationally. That's Tobias Harris of the Philadelphia 76ers. Because for the Sixers to reach their full potential, and if you're hoping that's going to happen, keep on wishing and wishing and wishing for this season. Because how many times do we need to see this happen from Philadelphia, where we look at them and we see what this team is, and you go, ooh, yeah, there's a lot of excitement there, especially this year. It was the Bucks, and then it was everybody else in the East, and we would have thought the Sixers probably would have been the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, and right now they currently sit at the 6 seed. And this is just the basketball team that even when you get Ben Simmons and you get Joel Embiid and you get Tobias Harris playing well, and you look at Tobias Harris, he had 30 against the Pacers. He had 25 against the Spurs. You would think that would be enough to get 2 victories. That not the case. And you see Embiid put up 41 and 27 against the Pacers and the Spurs. Once again, you'd think that'd be enough just with those two to get 2 victories, and it's not been. And you look at Ben. Ben up against the Pacers had 19 points, 13 rebounds. You see him up against the Spurs, only 8 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists. And we heard so much when this season did restart. Oh, wait for Ben Simmons' jump shot. Oh, wait for Ben Simmons to shoot from three. This is what we've been hearing all throughout the year in the summer. Ooh, Ben Simmons released a hype video of Ben shooting 3-pointers. How many 3-pointers did we see from Ben Simmons this year? Not many. Then you get the NBA bubble, and you see in an exhibition game, Ben take 2 3-point shots and actually made one. And all of a sudden, oh, look at Ben. Maybe Ben is going to have a different type of confidence in the bubble. And so far through 2 games, Ben Simmons, 0-0-0 3-point shots. And I just don't get it. You know, he's a good player. I know he puts in the work, but it has to be a confidence issue or a lack of confidence with Ben Simmons. Because really, what does the seeding mean? Well, what does this seeding mean for the NBA playoffs? The Sixers, they already know they're going. You already know you're going to be a playoff team. Does it matter if you see the Celtics in the first round, or if you see the Heat, or you see the Pacers? Does that really matter? Probably not. You know, if there was actual home court advantage, it would matter for Philadelphia, because they are a 29-2 team at home this past season, 10-24, a lottery team. A lottery team on the road. And I don't like to usually press that big fat red panic button after 2 games in the bubble. I know I was chastising people that did that after the Lakers lost to the Raptors. Oh, you know, how concerned should we be with the Los Angeles Lakers? But this is not just one game. This has been the story the entire season for Philadelphia, where they look like they're supposed to be a good team, but you don't really see them play long stretches of clean, good basketball where they actually meet their potential. And you often look back and say, yeah, this is a team that it could have been and it should have been, but they end up being a team that you go, well, what's actually wrong with this team? And the shooting to me, is the number one problem. The way that this team is constructed, and probably Brett Brown going to lose his job. Who knows, though, with how they operate the Philadelphia 76ers. But you would think Brett Brown is going to lose his job. Brett wasn't dealt great cards this year. Yes, you got Embiid, and there's conditioning concerns with Embiid. You got Ben Simmons, and I'm not going to put the lack of development on Brett Brown or Ben Simmons. The guy just doesn't want to shoot a jump shot. All right, that's what it is. And then you get to the entire team. You just look at the construction of them. They lose J.J. Redick. They lost Jimmy Butler, who was an absolute dog in a good way for them in the postseason last year. They don't have guys in a league now where you have to hit the three-point shot that they're good enough to knock down that three-point shot on a consistent basis. But we could talk about all the offensive concerns, and I could even give you the numbers where Embiid and Tobias Harris have played well the last two games. Once again, Harris 25 against the Spurs last night. The Pacers, he scored 30 in 37 minutes. Embiid 41 in 34 minutes up against the Pacers. 27 points up, in 31 minutes against San Antonio. But this Sixers defense, it was atrocious. Absolutely atrocious in the fourth quarter up against the Pacers. And then they basically doubled down up against San Antonio. Back-to-back games where that team allowed 40-plus points in the fourth quarter. They allowed 46 in the fourth against the Pacers, where T.J. frickin' Warren, who's a nice player, but there is no way that T.J. Warren should be scoring 53 against you. He scored 53 points against Philadelphia. And then you play a San Antonio team who is not good, doesn't have LaMarcus Aldridge. It's a team that we were talking about yesterday. What's the vision? What's the future? How much longer does Greg Popovich want to coach? And last night, the Sixers had to take it right down to the wire to get a victory, where they did eventually win by 2 points. But in the fourth quarter of that game, they allowed 43 points. 43! And I saw a stat today that the Sixers are the first team to allow 40 or more points in consecutive fourth quarters since the Orlando Magic. What year, you may ask? Actually, let me ask Billy. What year, the last time a team allowed them back-to-back games, 40 points in the fourth quarter, what year did the Magic do it, Billy? Any guess?
Oh, man. What year did they do it?
Yeah, just throw out a year. Any year.
2013.
Not even close. 1991. That shows you how historically bad the Sixers were in these last two games in the fourth quarter. First team to allow 40 or more points in consecutive fourth quarters since the 1991 Orlando Magic. And for the Sixers, it's the first time that they've allowed, I saw this on ESPN this morning, the first time that they've allowed back-to-back games of 40-plus points or more in the fourth quarter for just Philadelphia, just that franchise, no one else in the league, since 1967. So Philadelphia has major problems. They have a defensive problem in the fourth quarter right now, and their shooting, to me, will continue to get exposed in the postseason. So we keep on looking at Philadelphia. When you talk about these teams that are not named Milwaukee or not the two Los Angeles teams, and we keep on trying to figure out, well, who are the teams that could be dangerous? And you hear Houston, and you hear about the Celtics, you hear about the Raptors. But for the Sixers, I don't look at them as dangerous. I look at the Sixers as what they have been throughout the entire year. And that's a disappointment. And that's what they've been. We keep on waiting for the Sixers to put it together. And I know the easy out is, oh, well, last year if the ball bounces their way, you know, maybe they beat the Raptors, where Kawhi Leonard got four fortuitous bounces. Enough. There's too many games where the Sixers don't play to their potential. But we keep all sitting here trying to be suckers and trying to say, yeah, maybe this is the game that they're going to put it together. Even if they put it together for one game, I don't expect it to consistently last. Maybe they win a postseason round. I don't see how they win two postseason rounds and do better than what they did last year, which was just win one postseason round and get to a game seven up against Toronto. I expect this to be another disappointing year for the Philadelphia 76ers, and it's one of these games where we keep on sitting back, waiting and waiting and waiting because of the two big names, Embiid and Simmons, and you also factor in Tobias Harris. We keep on waiting for the Sixers to show up, and even though this is just two games, they keep on disappointing you, where T.J. Warren goes off for 53, they allow 40-something points in the fourth against the Pacers, they lose that game, and then the way they answer back, oh yeah, they get a victory up against the Spurs, something you should be real proud about. However, with that being said, they allowed 40-something points in that fourth quarter as well. I know that it's tough to put a lot of stock in these games because what does the seeding actually mean? But for Philadelphia, I want to see improvements. This team has been a problem all throughout the season. And when I say it's been a problem, it's not the way that I mentioned the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers were their problems for other teams. They've been their worst enemy, and they've been in there consistently getting in their way, and they should be able to find consistent success in this league, but they haven't been able to. So let's stop trying to just sit back and wait for it to happen until we see it. You know, I kind of put them in the Houston territory. At least Houston's been playing well in this NBA restart. Until they show up when it matters, I'm not going to put all my poker chips in on Philadelphia or Houston. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll chat a little Lakers next and LeBron James's mission.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. He's glad you're still here. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
I just saw this game winner as Devin Booker makes the game-winning shot up against the Los Angeles Clippers as the Phoenix Suns. How about this for a little bubble surprise? 3-0, defeated the Wizards on the 31st, then got Dallas on Sunday by 2 points, 117-115. The next time back out on the court was today. They win again, this time up against the Clippers. Once again, 117-115 is the final. When you see the look from Devin Booker, he was at about like the left corner area, and he pumped, he then spin, and did rise up to bury a two-point shot to send the Los Angeles Clippers back to their hotel rooms and have the Suns maybe get in a little pool time in Orlando and get to celebrate that victory. So a nice job by the Phoenix Suns, and you heard it in Axe Update too. How about this T.J. Warren story? You talk about someone being hot inside the bubble against Philadelphia at 53, then up against the Wizards, he had 34, and that game was last night up against the Wizards. Tonight up against the Magic, 11 minutes into the game, he has 17 points. He hit 9 threes up against Philadelphia, was 9 of 12. He put up 34 against the Wizards, only 1 three. He also put in 11 rebounds against Washington, too. Tonight, he's 3-3 from behind the arc and has 17 points, and we're only 11 minutes into that game. So a nice job by the Phoenix Suns. And then also give credit to the Indiana Pacers as they've defeated Philadelphia, like I said, defeated Washington, and then this game is currently ongoing up against Orlando. And we do have a collision course. Next game up for both the Suns and the Pacers, going to be Thursday. It's going to be Phoenix going up against Indiana. So that will be a fun game that we actually didn't think was going to mean anything when the bubble did start, with just the way that those two teams are playing down in Orlando. And you take a glance at the eighth seed, as we do have some breaking news here, and it's some unfortunate news. The Memphis Grizzlies, and we know Jaren Jackson has had some injury problems this year, but now his season is over. Where, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, Grizzlies forward Jaren Jackson Jr. has suffered a meniscus tear in his left knee and will miss the rest of the season. So that's a big blow for Memphis. You still have Ja Morant, but that duo of Morant and Jaren Jackson has been fun to watch. And you see the Grizzlies right now, they sit at 32-36. Portland is right behind them, two games behind them at 30-38. The Spurs, who could have won that game last night up against Philly and did let it get away, they're 29-37. Pelicans finally played Zion Williamson more than 15 or 14 minutes. He played 25 last night, and they now are at 29-38. Kings at 28-39. and the Suns right out of the gate in the bubble. They get three victories, and they improve their campaign to right now. They put themselves, Phoenix, in a spot of 29-39. So actually going to have the Suns. The standings aren't updated here on the website I'm looking at, but the Suns now are actually going to go past the Sacramento Kings for the time being. Well, actually, no, because the Kings, I think they lost today to the Mavericks. So, yeah, you do see the Suns move past the Kings. So this is going to be a nice little race to see who gets to go up against the Lakers. And remember, if you're the ninth seed, you got to be within four games of the eighth, and then you got to win both games, and you can't let the eighth seed win one. So to see where the Grizzlies are going to go without Jaren Jackson, and if they fall out of the eighth or ninth spot, is going to be something to watch. And they do have a tough schedule, or a tougher schedule, when you look at this Grizzlies team. They play the Jazz tomorrow, then Friday they have the Thunder. You have the Raptors, the Celtics, and the Bucks. Now, to be fair, we don't know what these teams are going to look like. When you get closer to the postseason, does a team like Toronto maybe rest some of their players? You saw the Bucks today up against the Nets, who got a victory. They didn't have Giannis and also Chris Middleton play in the second half. So what will happen for the opponents that go up against the Memphis Grizzlies? But that's a big blow for Memphis, losing Jaren Jackson Jr. And you start to continue to look at this eighth seed. And now with the Grizzlies not having Jaren Jackson, do you really have a desire? And I've been someone that's been pro-Memphis. Hey, they were the eighth seed when the season stopped. I'd like to see them get in the postseason without Jaren Jackson. Even though any of those teams that do get into that eighth spot, I know we've had some eight seed upsets before, they're not going to beat the Lakers. Do you really care now to see Memphis in the postseason? A few days ago, I'd say yes. Now, not so much. You'd probably rather see a Portland that has a Damian Lillard and has CJ McCollum, and you do have Nurkic as well, and you do have Zach Collins. So you'd probably rather see that team. San Antonio does not excite me much. With the way that their roster is currently excited, you could have interest, definitely have interest in the Pelicans with Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. And you see the Kings, yes, the Aaron Fox is an underrated player in this league. But if you see a team like Phoenix, if they can continue their winning ways, and there's still a long ways to go with the hole that they did put themselves in, they do have a player who obviously is sensational, and that is a Devin Booker. So to see what and who, you know, who is going to be that eighth seed is going to be something to watch when we look at the rest of these regular season games. And I'll give you the schedule the rest of the way for Phoenix just to see how much of a chance or where they could be, and how likely is it that they continue their winning ways. Like we said, they have Indiana on Thursday. They have the Heat on Saturday, OKC on Monday, Philadelphia on Tuesday, and then they see Dallas again. That would be next week on Thursday. Yeah, it's going to still be tough for Phoenix. Now, give them credit. And I know you're not going to jump up and down much for the victory over Washington. Give them credit for the two victories up against Dallas and the Clippers. But it's tough to see that team running the table, which they may have to do, or only dropping one more or two more games to see that team putting themselves in a spot to get to that ninth seed. Is it possible when you win three games to start off your season, the second part of the season? Yes, it's possible. It clearly definitely is possible. With them being at 29, Pelicans being at 29, Spurs being at 29, and the ninth and eighth spot is 30 and 32 for the Trailblazers and Grizzlies, the odds, though, still are not in your favor. All right, let me get back to the team that clinched the one seed in the Western Conference, and that's the Los Angeles Lakers. And we chatted a little bit earlier in the show about the importance of Anthony Davis. And last night we see Anthony Davis go for 42. And the other victory inside the bubble, he did go for 34. The one time that the Lakers did lose in the bubble was when he only had 14. That was in a Lakers loss up against the Toronto Raptors. So when we look at the top seed Lakers in the Western Conference, how much does that actually mean in this NBA restart? That's something to think about, because there's no home court advantage. This is not as if you get all those games in the Staples Center. It's one venue, it's one environment, it's neutral site in Orlando inside of the same bubble for these teams. When I look at the Lakers, and I could hear LeBron James tell me last night how pumped up he is to be the one seed, where, and probably when he was with Miami and when he was with the Heat, it meant nothing. But for him at the Lakers, he plays it up. Oh, when I went to the Lakers, people told me I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. They missed the playoffs last year. They're dancing on my grave, practically. And now we're the one seed. And I heard Anthony Davis as well last night. And he talks about it's nice to just know that you're the best team in the Western Conference, too. I don't know if you put much of a value on it, if you put much of a stock on it when you look at this now. But if you are a team, if you are a team and you check off goals throughout the year and you see a team, for example, like the Los Angeles Lakers, where Anthony Davis did talk about last night how this was an organization that was in a six-year playoff drought and they've been through a lot in this year with some of the things that had happened through the season and forming together new pieces here. You also had the death of Kobe Bryant. You go through certain obstacles and you go through certain goals and you check things off. And I'm sure for the Lakers, yes, the preeminent goal was to win LeBron James's fourth NBA championship this year. But when you start out a season, you want to be, when you have the talent that you did of LeBron James and Anthony Davis just to start, you want to be that one seed in the Western Conference. So you take those small victories through the course of the season. Ultimately, though, we know one thing. The Los Angeles Lakers are going to be judged if they win a championship or not. And when you have LeBron James, success is viewed as championship or bust. And I see this Lakers team. I am still very confident in them. I know no Avery Bradley's a big blow. Rondo getting hurt is a blow as well. But just as long as LeBron James and Anthony Davis dominate, they're going to be in it. And yes, the Clippers have more depth. Yes, you may like the Clippers more, but in these unprecedented times, it's so tough for me to bet against LeBron James. And in their three games in the regular season so far in this restart in Orlando, we still haven't even seen the best version of LeBron James yet. So as long as LeBron, and you obviously expect him to be great in the postseason, and Anthony Davis continues to do what he's done in most of these games in the bubble so far, I still anticipate the Lakers to get to the finals, and right now I'll stick with the prediction. It's Lakers and Bucks. Yes, I'm going chalk, but that's just the way that I feel. So congrats to the Lakers for the one seed. You get a day to celebrate it, but each and every game, every single person's going to question you, and it's going to depend on your win-loss record.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.